know you want me. Woo!
2 week hiatus. Hold on.
Hold on. We're back.
We had to take a mental health little breakable.
Okay.
But we're back. We're back to the crazy.
That's what happened. Mate, I was sober for 3 weeks. I didn't have vices.
Like, please,
I didn't smoke for 3 weeks. Like,
okay, please tell the listeners of Part Time Alcoholics what time you usually wake up and what time you are up today to get alcohol. This is legal.
Okay, so hello everybody. This is Part Time Alcoholics. we'll introduce
season ourselves. 2, episode 8.
Yeah, season 2, episode 8. This is the Suburban Papa Action, aka Afternoon Bay, aka oh, I'm so happy to have whiskey, aka I don't even know my AKAs anymore because I'm just in a good mood. But yes, so we'll introduce everyone later. But to finish the story, so yes, today they just made liquor illegal in South Africa, legal in South Africa again. And yes, I was up at 8:45 this morning. Usually I'm up at 3. To be fair,
in I didn't see him. No, finish that sentence.
Usually I'm up at like 3.
PM.
In the afternoon, if that was confusing for you. Because like I went to sleep at 6, because that'd be the time I sleep.
True or false? True or
like
false?
Like a psycho.
Set an alarm.
Yes, I did. I definitely set an alarm. I set 2 alarms.
For alcohol.
I put both of them on snooze, but I still got up and went to the liquor store like a good citizen.
You know, this is when you know that the priorities of part-time alcoholics is alcohol.
No, it's not alcohol. It's research. It's
to do a research. I had to research. I have to say, what are the queues looking like today? What are the freedom queues? And let me tell you, the freedom queues at... my helper and I were laughing. My helper said... So, you know, earlier today, I was talking to Ndoye and we were talking about, like, the queues and waking up in the morning. I thought my dad left at 8 a.m. No, my nigga left at 6.
Six.
I don't even know where he went at 6 because I don't know what's open, but he was like, so then I was going to Funeray, and so he went because like the dog had run out of dog food. I don't know where he went to find dog food, but everyone was queued outside the Pick and Pay liquor, but no one was in the Pick and Pay. So it's like, they sell wine.
Wow.
We know our priorities of this land.
Quick math. And he went in the Pick and Pay. Apparently, inside the Pick and Pay, there was no queue. He was like, let me just grab this.
Because it's wine.
Yeah. Like, apparently...
Yeah, we'll be buying wine, go to the normal Pick and Pay.
Yeah.
Like, so people were queuing outside, and you're just like, stupid. Can't even think.
Veterans of the game.
He's got his wing.
They came.
Cap has got his wings. He's just like, all right, y'all stand outside. I'm going to be back.
This is what experience gives you. Lateral thinking. I was standing in a queue. I could have gone to Pick and Pay.
Hey, but you weren't going to get your whiskey or vodka in the Pick and Pay. Yes.
But anyway, as per usual, part-time alcoholics, we have been told what the episode number is. My good, gentle brothers, my missing brothers, my one semi-homeless brother, and my other very tall, delicious brother, introduce yourselves for the people, because I'm sure they've forgotten.
I've got a story about that semi-homeless, by the way, but I'll get into that. Today was a very interesting day. Anyway, go ahead, Mr. Mdaka.
No, you're talking. Introduce yourself, fool.
I am DOI Daddy. Happy to be back.
Miss my
brothers. I haven't seen my family in a very long time. Nice to see your faces, guys.
I'm going to fire you one day.
Who? Me?
Yes.
Why?
Even though I can't fire you because technically this is a 3-person venture, but I'm going to fire you. Why you don't want to say the Z? How many
I
times?
Said it, guys, Z? Relax. Okay, let's move on. Move on. Move on quickly.
This is now two seasons of saying, Sam, just go Z. Just a young
Z. DIY, DIY daddy. Just because I haven't seen you in a minute. And we haven't spoken in a while, so
this hair of yours, this hair of yours is making you smell sick.
Our listeners can't see or hear my hair, so don't worry about it.
You look like a monk in a monastery.
I'm leaving it, eh? Like, I promise you. I promise you. I made a, I don't know if it's a bet or a promise, but I told Elisa that the first day of the streets, I'm leaving it just like this, all natural, on the first day of streets.
You look like you've just committed to giving up material possessions.
Father Sherman, let's sing together. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You laughed, right? You're laughing. But I put this on my Insta. I put that on my Insta at Shumsi Snack. Or Shumsi S now, sorry. So I put it on my Insta. And I'm telling you now, all the girls were like, you know what? Leave this thing. Do not touch it. So, who am I in this day and age to not listen to women of this world?
It's because they want to be blessed by Father Sherman.
Two hundo. Bless them with the two hundo.
Two claps. Nah.
Nah. Oh, shit. But anyway,
and we also have...
You're joined by the
from the
NDO,
land of Virginia.
The NDO, name so nice you gotta say it twice. There's no AKAs. Can't remember them. We're done.
Sherman
didn't say AKAs.
You're gonna be your favorite plant based snake. You're gonna be David Palfa.
The big snack.
You want to be Malum Dal Curry.
Hey, man. Don't put the family recipes out there, man. Put respect on my family's name.
Hey, listen. All I'm saying is that Dal Curry kind of slaps. That's the first time I even considered being vegan. Like,
I mean, don't talk shit. Fuck off. You consider being vegan.
Let's get to the
episode. When I say considered... I don't mean like seriously. I just mean like the thought was like, if this is what vegan eat, I'm not mad.
And don't make that dog curry for me as well. And it slaps. It does really slap. And when he puts that the bread, the naan bread with it, it slaps, eh? But you consider being vegan, I find that very hard to believe.
It's a lie. It's a doggone lie. It's lies from the devil. The devil is a lie.
You know what? I was a vegan.
This is Carnivore Gang. I try to be a spy. It's really good. They saw through me. Anyway, before we get on to very important things, what are we all drinking?
Since I'm
drinking podcast.
Jack, Gentleman Jack. You know, I got the double Gentleman Jack with some lime.
Let's discuss very briefly your obsession with Gentleman Jack.
It's out of the bourbons. It's one of my favorite cheaper bourbons. So if you look at cheaper bourbons, you look at Jack, normal Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, Gentleman Jack, and there are some other off-the-cuff bourbons that are a bit more expensive. Out of those ones, the one that comes in line with pricing with Buffalo Trace is your Gentleman Jack. And I'm going to say Gentleman Jack just because it's more accessible than Buffalo Trace right now.
Oh. Are those around the same price point?
Yeah.
I couldn't find Buffalo Trace. It's the only reason I don't have it. But I'm drinking some Jim Beam because I'm actually now of the opinion that I think it is the best budget bourbon.
True. It is.
Like,
it is. And we also put a whole bottle between the two of us in a club. I got fucked up. But anyway.
I'm drinking chamomile tea.
And let me tell you what that does for your skin.
Yeah, it's good for everybody. It's good for
on the day.
It's good for your body. Huh?
On the day that liquor is made legal in our alcoholic state.
Don't worry. I got a bottle of something. Just a bottle. Ah. A bottle. What? Okay. A one. Got a bottle.
Okay. Oh, it's you know, like, not ready guys, to unveil
you
it.
Don't like finishing words, podcast. Yeah. So I got, I didn't get Sauvignon Blanc. I just got Sauv.
I got a bottle.
It just says Sauv. I was just like, hey, let me cop a bottle of something. Something must just enter.
All right, chap. Let's discuss the elephant in the room. Full disclosure, people who are listening, when we had our very brief pre-production meeting, we said we would, or I said, I'm definitely going to slander white people today. So.
That's not undeserving. Warranted.
So, okay, yes. First off, let's get everyone's feelings about the just general climate.
It's hot right now. It's wild out there, actually. Like, no lies, I saw, like, someone driving, like, a fuel tanker run over crowds in, I don't know which state it was in, but he literally in a fuel tanker, a truck, just plowing through people, through crowds. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, madness. I just think when you push the oppressed to the brink, I mean, it's bound to be explosive. But I mean, I think at the same time, like, everyone consumes Black culture, but I think we've spoken about this on the podcast. Like, we're all happy to consume Black culture, but when it comes to actually acknowledging a Black soul or Black presence, then it's like, no. And then you have no rights. Then you're 3/5 of a man. So I don't know. It's at a tipping point now. Like, I think the advent of technology and we're all carrying recordable devices with us. And yeah, like, I know I shouldn't be quoting off Instagram, but something Will Smith said, it's not that racism has just started now. It's just it's only being recorded now. Like, this thing has been happening.
True.
Yeah.
I think you should quote Instagram, because I a lot of times feel that right now, because a lot of Instagram videos, other than them cutting it to show their perspective, if you can get a hold of the full video of social media, where you're not allowed to cut a video at certain moments, it might be, social media might be the truest form of news right now than actual news. But I don't think you're wrong in quoting social media.
You know what's wild is, you know, like, the presence of your Kendall and your Kylie Jenners and your Kardashians and all these Insta hoes, presence are like wild on Instagram before this incident happened, and now all of a sudden everyone's silent. Everyone's quiet.
Have you noticed how quiet the white people have been?
Okay, I need to put my hand up there.
White people have been quiet, bruh, on my side at least.
I disagree, and I think we're probably going to come to the same eventual point, but for me, white people haven't been quiet, and that's annoying. So, and actually, before I answer, I want to ask this thing. So, like, a big thing now is, yo, you being silent is complicity. If you are silent in what's happening, then basically what you're saying is, I buy into the thing. Give us the thoughts. React.
That's the thing. To be honest with you, I'm not saying all white people are bad. There are some good ones out there. Unfortunately, in this sort of lens that we currently have, you're going to be hard to see, to be honest with you. Good white person out there, wherever you are. And it's a situation where, to some people, it's going to be, you're doomed if you do and you're doomed if you don't. And no matter however you act, whether you're silent or not, or whether you do something or not, or whether you say something or not, there's going to be someone of color who's going to catch some sort of feelings either way. So it's either you're prepared for the heat or not.
This is fair.
That's all I have to say about that one.
Did you?
No, no, go ahead. I know you're very opinionated, so let's hear your opinion.
Oh no, I've been building this shit today.
Yeah, I know. I see you're trying to be the provocateur, and you're trying to like.
No, listen. I'm trying to give.
Let's hear what you have to say.
I'm trying to give people a chance to talk because I feel like if I
once go on, freedom, I'm brother. Stop a lot.
But let's go. Here's my thing. First off, the Will Smith thing. Initially, I was inclined to believe him until I thought about it and then just sort of researched a bit. This has been recorded since forever. Like Emmett Till, if anyone doesn't know the story of Emmett Till, Emmett Till was a 14-year-old boy in 1955 in Mississippi in a town called Money. He came across a white woman, they had an interaction. The white woman said, this guy flirted with me. Her husband and her brother-in-law kidnapped him, caved his skull in with a pipe, shot him like multiple times, like they shot him all over his body, wrapped barbed wire around his neck and then dumped his body in the river.
I thought they hung him and burnt him.
Yeah, they did everything on a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Emmett Till's mom said, yo, listen, this child's body, I want an open casket because I want everyone to see. And the picture is still on Google. His face looks like a deflated soccer ball with rocks.
How strong of a mother do you need to be to make that call?
Mate.
Yo.
Mate, I'm not gonna go into that also because like I'll get in, but like the whole like idea of black strength is part of this problem. During apartheid. Do the survey. We've all done it. Do the survey. How many white people are racist? If you ask them.
If you ask them.
If you ask white people, how many white people are racist?
None.
Listen, I literally spoke to Steve Hoffman, and Steve Hoffman himself said, "I'm not a racist. I did struggle."
I did struggle.
That's my point. Like, white people have been speaking about it. They've made plays, they've made poems, when Emmett Till's thing happened, they were like, oh my god, this is so bad. They did that version of tweeting. And now they're tweeting again. Oh my god, if you don't speak, you are complicit. My issue now is, you don't speak. You only speak when people turn up dead. In the in-between, you're quiet. That says to me, you aren't about this.
Are the people in your circle tweeting, or are you just looking at like Twitter on the whole?
I'm talking about my feed, and it's a lot of people, it's a lot of woke white women, and like, for me, I don't want you to speak because you didn't speak before. Now that you're speaking, now that you're saying, oh, we need to hold other white people accountable. Oh, why do you need to do it now? Why weren't you doing it before? Mate, this has been happening for hundreds of years. No one is confused about what the issue is. One of the viral videos that's circulating is this white lady in the 70s who's speaking to a group of white women, and she says, hey, yo, listen, stand up if you would be happy to be treated like a black person. And no one stands up. And she says, you see, that says you know. That was in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
What now? Now you're speaking. Now you're saying, oh my God, guys, please don't be racist. Fuck you. You are not and have not been about this. Don't now sit here and this is why white people do it. They do it to claim, you get to claim the moral high ground without putting anything on the line.
Mm.
You get to tweets, oh yes, Black Lives Matter, and if you're not about this, then blah, blah, blah. But you don't risk anything. No one, you're not getting shot at, the cops aren't doing anything to you. Take someone like Ruth first, right? Who was an apartheid activist. I fucks with her because she got blown up by the government. Government exploded because of ass.
Damn.
None of these people are willing to be exploded. What they're willing to do is tweet.
There's too little Joe Slovos out there. Joe Slovo put his ass on the line. Like Joe Slovo was like a white guy who actually did stuff in apartheid. But there's too little of them. There's not that many of them, unfortunately.
That's my point. Like, everyone is now trying to do this thing where they're like, yo, oh, and we need to check our privilege. Why are you checking your privilege now? You knew this was a problem. Where are you? Anyway, you knew this was a problem. You didn't find out this was a problem with George Floyd. This didn't start last week. You didn't think, oh my gosh, there's a problem with Eric Garner, with Colin Cosa, with motherfucking Steve Biko. And like, at what point are we like, I see the pattern and you guys are just liars?
True.
Because that's what it feels like to me.
I do have a point I want to raise though. Go at some point. Okay. Do you know how we've sort of, a lot of people, okay, I'm excluding white people here because I don't feel you believe it, but we've come to a sort of understanding that we can't hold Muslim people with Islamic faith on the whole, accountable for the Taliban, for example. Or we can't hold them accountable for certain members of society that put them in a bad light. Because Muslim people claim, yo, yes, these are our people per se in faith, but dude, we don't know the Taliban. We just here trying to believe what we want to believe. These are the few rotten apples that are fucking up for us. So by not being able to hold Muslim people accountable for Islamic terrorism, are we able to hold white people accountable for white racist American cops?
Yes.
Why are those two mutually exclusive?
They're not mutually exclusive. They're just different things.
How are they different things? There's those people who are fucking it up for the larger group, and you're telling the larger group, sort out your people. We've come to sort of an international understanding that you can't do that with Muslim people and terrorism. So how are you able to do that with white people and the negative, the neo-Nazi almost police force?
That's very simple, because when you talk about Muslim people and ISIS, you're discussing moderates versus extremists.
Yes.
When you're talking about racism, you're not talking about extremists. The people who are killing black people, that lady who tried to call the cops on that dude.
Yeah.
That lady worked in an investment firm. She wasn't a psychopath. She's not an extremist. She's not like a foaming at the mouth rabid person. She is exactly the kind of white person we bump into regularly. She's not racist.
She is. She's just in denial.
Yes, she is. That's not what I'm saying. Is she is racist, but
yeah. She
is the person who walks around and says, I'm not racist, and who can act not racist until she gets angry, or until she gets sad, or until it's her period, or until all of the other excuses that white people have literally said. People have said, oh my God, it's my period. That's why I said, oh, fuck you, niggas. Oh my God, it's my period. That's why I said, oh, the Indians are coming to steal us.
Yeah.
All of it. Oh my God, I was just tired. And that's the difference. ISIS, like, is clear on their convictions because they're extreme.
ISIS is like,
yo, fuck you guys because I hate you guys.
For example, I know quite a few Jewish people, Israeli Jews, and they hate Palestinians even though they're South African and have no links These guys are not racist, for example. They're not extremists, but they hold views that are similar to that. That if you just push it just over the edge, dude, you're barring on terrorism.
They hold extreme views. Mate, here's exactly. The thing. We have to stop thinking about extremists or racists as like some type of caricature. Like, just because you don't jump up and down every day and go, fuck the Palestinians, doesn't mean you're not a racist.
Because no, of course not.
Just because you can operate in and amongst black people doesn't mean you're not a racist. That dude is a racist. Like, and Israelis are well known for being racist.
Yeah.
He's just able to operate in certain situations, and that's fine. I mean, fuck him, but that's fine. Like, I don't know. And this is kind of the thing, because everyone is now saying, oh, white people, you need to say something. No, white people, you have not been saying anything for a long time. Don't start now. Don't start now.
Oh, let me tell you about the wolf and the fox.
Yes. So, I saw you bringing the evidence, and I was like, I like this. I like what you're about to do.
Oh, no, I was actually doing shit for work. If you bring the analogy of the wolf and the fox, the wolf, it snarls in your face and it lets you know at an early stage that it's your enemy. And it's actually trying to hunt you, kill you, and eat you. So it's very clear at an early stage what the wolf's intentions are.
Mm.
And I would say that I liken that to your, you know, Southern America, Alabama, Mississippi, Ku Klux Klan, white racist, because it's very evident that the hatred is apparent. Now, unfortunately, what we're dealing with is systemically we're dealing with foxes. So the wolves are few and far between. Those are individual isolated cases, but we're dealing with foxes. Now, what the fox does, it smiles in your face, but it's showing you its teeth. And it has the same intent as the wolf, but it's smiling at you. But you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Its intent is your total annihilation and destruction. Now, the problem with liberalism and the problem with white people joining your cause, Steve Biko said this, is at the end of the day, they're not going to let go and renounce their privileges. The legacy that they are in their comfort, they're not going to give that up. Even if they're joining your cause, even if they're standing by your side and fighting with you, they're not going to deny their legacy and empire. So they might have a stance that, you know, racism is wrong, but they living in a legacy where their grandfather used slaves in a rubber plantation. And if you didn't meet quota, they chop off your hands. And there's literally stories of that in Congo with King Leopold VIII. No one talks about it. The same number of people killed in the Holocaust, same number of people killed in the Congolese genocide.
Yeah.
No one talks about it.
People, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But systemically, it's seen as okay because it's black people. So that's the thing is, there's just a lot of privilege that even if you have someone of a different race on your side, it's not the same struggle. You ideally have to fight for yourself. And when I talk about the Karens and the liberals in white women and they joining the cause or X, Y, and Z, those are the foxes because they're smiling at you. They're down for the cause, but their true intent is not to give up on their privilege. And that privilege is built on a legacy of slavery. If you can research any empire that exists, the British Empire, the Roman Empire, pick an empire. If it exists, it's built on slavery. You cannot have an empire without slavery. It's impossible. So when we talk about systemic racism, we're talking about the empirical system that has, it's built to oppress. It's built to subjugate. So that's the story of the wolf and the fox. The wolf is apparently your, it's clear as day as you, that's your enemy. But the fox is liberal woman that preaches, I don't see color. It's impossible, we all see color. It's innate in human beings to see pattern recognition. So if you tell me you don't see color, you're telling me you don't see patterns. And that's the success of the human race, is pattern recognition. So the fact is not to see color. It's actually to notice the color and actually just celebrate each other's differences, or understand that, hey, listen, they operate in a different way. I don't operate like that. You go live, it's okay. I'm gonna live with my ideologies and my idiosyncrasies and my beliefs. And it's not that one has to live without the other. You know, at the end of the day, we all just need to understand that we're all cousins. And
true.
If we're talking about, no, it's for reals. Like, if you look at the human genome, the human genome, like Chinese, Indian, Black, pick a race. We're all cousins at the end of the day. We're really, really distant relatives. We're so intent on finding differences in each other. And that's something we're naturally going to do. We're going to see a difference. But if we all understand that, we all want the same thing. Even if you take an extreme person, we all just want a roof over our head. We all just want safety, security, water, food, and success of our children. Find me one person on earth who doesn't want that. Yeah. And that's the thing, because we all have to understand, we all want the same things. It's just, we have this idea that we all have to compete to the extent that we have to eradicate another race. No, we don't need to compete to that level. There's enough resources for all of us.
True.
And this is very, where I want to agree with you.
I agree with you 100%.
But also say, like, because that's kind of the problem. That is where the problem of capitalism comes in. We all, listen, all of us genuinely are hardwired to want to reproduce and have those children be able to reproduce and be fine.
Yeah.
But what happens is we're also social beings, and we have also hardwired ourselves to live socially. And social, a lot of, or at least the way our social living is now, is built on the idea of someone must die. Or someone must lose. And so a lot of our social hierarchy is... And so this is, again, the point. Let me bring it back to white people. This is, again, why I don't believe any white... Not a one of them who says, oh, my God, I'm their life. Unless I've seen them go through some shit. Unless they got smacked in the face by a cop and were like, yeah.
Unless they're Eminem.
Alright, cool. But if not, I don't believe you, because here's the thing. Your privilege, because you are sitting in a privileged part of society, it makes sense. And because we live in a capitalist society, and capitalism's founding foundation is self-interest. Everybody acts in their self-interest. Now, the idea was supposed to be that everyone's self-interest would govern each other, but what Adam Smith did not account for was the fact that self-interested groups would then get together and be like, hey, yo, listen, we can do X and Y to that group to help us. Like, I don't think he really planned for a lot of groupings of self-interest. And so what happens is, white women say, white people say, oh my God, this is terrible. Oh my God, this is bad. They fox us. But really, they're trying to chew your leg off. And they're trying to chew your leg off because it's in their best interest to chew your leg off. The system is built to help white people, so they make decisions in their self-interest. Racism is in white people's best interest.
I agree with you.
Can... I don't think we talk about enough. It is a good thing for a white person to be racist. For them. Not for us, not for anybody else, but for them, white people being racist is good.
Yeah, yeah, because it sort of, it adds to their own self-interest as a collective. There's two things I want to get at when it comes to both of your points. I agree with Ndor's point entirely, but also when it comes to capitalism as a whole, remember something, there's classism in the animal kingdom. And they don't have any economic policies. And there is classism even in Bible times before there was such a thing as capitalism. There's always going to be people in poverty. There's always going to be a split between hierarchy and animosity between those levels of middle class, lower level economics and higher class. That is never going to disappear. It's been there. It's been there since currency's been there. If you want to kill that, you've got to kill all currency and move back to a trade-based system. And even then, it's the persons who has more who can trade more. So the system is innate in human nature that you care for yourself and the individuals around you first. It's a selfish human nature that's more the issue than anything else. It's not a specific economic system because this existed before any economic system has been in place. The other thing is, where I think we'll move towards a system that is better is that capitalism currently benefits white people because the more you had at the beginning, the more you have now. So
wealth,
you stole some other
guys.
You stole. Yeah, exactly. And ownership creates wealth, and networking creates wealth. So that golf meeting makes more money than the meeting that you spend 6 hours in the office. White people
I
be playing golf.
A little tweak to that. A small tweak. I agree with you.
Okay.
And like continue, but like, yes, you're right. What you had at the beginning begets wealth, but also, and this applies more towards the states. Like states, not the US states, but states like states as countries. Whoever has the guns wins. So if you don't have shit but you have the guns, you can take that shit and then have that beget wealth.
Also, remember something, countries no longer have those sort of what you would call guns. It's private equity, it's private entities. Whoever gets the money gets the guns. So no longer do countries hold armaments anymore. It's private companies like the likes of Danel, like Lockheed Martin, like those big boys who have all the guns and then get hired by said state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so but ideally what we're talking about here is those private interests fall into the system of capitalism. Is that what you're saying?
True. Yes.
But isn't that what Yolisa is saying is the problem? That you have
that's
private interest on a national level.
This is the thing. And I'm saying that's not going to disappear. None of that is ever going to change. The difference is, the only thing that's going to change and what we're struggling to change for is don't fight capitalism, don't fight socialism, don't fight communism, because those are systems that work in respective regions and countries. You fight the racial aspect of said economy. So if a capitalist system in America is only benefiting white people, get to a stage where the capitalism benefits the rich no matter the race. Or the middle class, no matter the race. Or the poor, no matter the race. It's an inequity of race between in between each system. That's the problem. The thing is, realize something. Even if there wasn't such a thing as capitalism, even if there wasn't, even if everybody was the same, let's say everybody in a hypothetical world, all of us were the same race. There was no such thing as race. Everybody was tan. Everybody was mulatto. And that's everybody in the entire world. Chinese people, everybody was just mulatto. There will be the same levels of inequality between the poor and the rich that exist right now. That would not change.
But then we should be just as angry.
There will be people who are just as angry. Angry people are the people who don't have the money.
Maybe that's where we sort of depart. Because I'm with you to a certain extent. But that's entirely the point. If you are going to be so much richer than a person, regardless of your race, where you're going to treat a person like shit, then you are still a shit person. You're still a white person.
Yeah.
You're still being white.
Are we saying
system that exists? And to also counterpoint, yes, a lot of very big societies did socially do hierarchy, but there are a lot of recorded instances of egalitarian societies. Where it's like, cool, we're all doing. And okay, to be fair, I will give you this, they are much smaller in size. You cannot do it on a citywide scale.
The reason why I say this is that no matter how advanced an economy is, no matter what poverty stats a country puts out, go to any country, you're gonna find a homeless person of every race.
Yeah, but that's
you're gonna find, no matter what system they've been working under, no matter who's the ruling party, in Jesus's times.
Yeah, but that's because of colonialism. Jesus lived in a part of the world that was very segregated. But when the colonialists got here, they found very egalitarian systems.
Understandable. I'm saying that no matter how, whatever you try and change the system is, let's say for example, there was no colonialism. There was still classism. Classism based on wealth. Even within in a singular tribal system. That's even in the animal kingdom to this day.
Here's my thing. Okay. So we all understand that. There's still classism, blah, blah, blah. We all see this. Why do we have to keep living it? We clearly see it. We see that it's wrong. Are we, as arguably the smartest species to have lived on this planet, not able to figure out a system in which we can all get what we want without enslaving anyone?
No, I don't believe there's a system. And if there was, it will be killed before
we haven't tried to think of one. We literally haven't tried to think of one.
So, do you know what the... Do you know what marks us different than other animals in the animal kingdom? Whether you're measuring intellect and whatever matrix you design, a dolphin, a chimpanzee, a parakeet can all mimic whatever test you design for intelligence. But ideally, what sets us apart from other races is the ability to take care of each other. So the invention and the advent of the first splint that was designed for a broken leg. Now you must understand, in the animal kingdom, as soon as you have a broken leg, you're dead. You're done. Your whole your own tribe, your own pack, I'm failing to get collective nouns, but as soon as you have an ailment, a sprained anything, a broken anything, you are dead in the animal kingdom. Now, that's what sets us apart, is we take care of our weak and our ailing. So if you take that same compassion into designing a social system or a socioeconomic system, that is what is supposed to set us apart. So you're telling me from now into eternity, it's going to be capitalism. We're going to leave the weak and the ailing behind. But that that is what the success of the human race is. It's the ability to take care of the weak, the ailing, and the old. So yes, you can create a system. You can. There are systems in Greenland. There are systems in Norway. Norway has such, I think they got the fourth largest sovereign wealth. They used to be a fishing town. They were destitute. They were poor. They ran into some oil and they collectively designed a system that every single citizen of Norway has a sovereign wealth and it's next to nothing, the unemployment rate. And
yeah,
systems out there, they exist. We can implement them.
But to agree with you, that's kind of the thing. That move, I wasn't calling the wrapping up thing. I was just excited. Because that's then the problem, right? Norway has the sovereign wealth fund because Norway has oil offshore, blah, 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 so they can invest in their country. Congo, for instance, has fuck tons of riches. We all know it. And then what happened is everyone said, instead of what they did is Norway, they said, I will leave you alone, solve your people. What they did with Congo is they said, we're coming for that shit. Listen, Lumumba, you keep talking. Get rid of that gas. Mobutu, get in.
That's an isolated thing. I sent you guys a video as well.
The whole of South America.
Whoa. So, Ghana had its independence before Dubai. Ghana discovered oil 3 years before Dubai. Ghana is less oil rich, even though it has a larger oil reserve than Dubai currently, because of ill management in country.
This is kind of my point. And look, I'm not
Ghana saying could have been that Africans vibe, my guy.
No, I'm not saying that Africans are incapable of ill management or that Africans have not done ill management. I'm saying that that was orchestrated. It was orchestrated.
By whom?
Read the state of Africa, and there are like a couple of books, but we're about to wrap this up. But for instance, the reason the Congo's fucked up is not because they have fucked up leaders. It's because they assassinated the good ones. Same thing with South America. Literally all around. The reason Fidel Castro had his job was because America put in a president. They didn't like him anymore. They killed him. Castro weaseled his way in and then they're like, oh, fuck. And it's literally the story throughout South America. It's the story throughout Africa. And my point is only this. There are a lot of fingers in African, South American, even Indian, even Pakistan, like
Middle Eastern.
Even in China, bro, like they were fucking around with those people until they weren't. And that's now why China is so belligerent towards America. Because they have that history. Like,
Saudi Arabia.
I'll finish now. But you know what you do? Let's say there's the three of them. Let's say I'm the Patrice Lumumba of the situation. Joe is Mobutu. You are another guy.
Why must I be Mobutu? Why me?
Indeed. Why indeed? I'm all fucking patriotic and idealistic. You guys start out as, cool, we could work together. And I'm like, I don't want to fuck with you. Remember the African Renaissance Project? The reason that fucked out was not because of African countries. So me as Patrice, I say, nah, guys, let's all, because actually, between the three of us, we can all make shit pop. And we can cut that guy out. Liam is now the other guy. We can cut Liam out. Why do we need Liam if we can all work together?
Thomas
Liam says, I don't like this.
Guys.
Liam says,
Thomas was killed by his best friend.
Foreign influence.
So I don't like what this is happening. Okay, now he goes to Ndo. He says, listen, my guy, that guy's dating Kylie Jenner. That guy, I can get you Kylie Jenner and a couple of meals.
Negative, no, negative foreign influence is not unique.
That Kylie Jenner poem is nice.
Negative foreign influence.
He comes to you, he says, look at these two guys making you a Popeye. Why are you making you a Popeye? You we're all fighting. We used to be mates. Oh, now we're all fighting.
We used to be mates.
we all fought. Now all of a sudden you don't like me because I laughed at your head. You said that's what they
no,
did.
No, you don't. I think this is all just a inside thing that you have because you can't grow hair and I can exponentially grow hair. So I don't know why you're hating on me like this. Don't hate on me like this. And
let me tell you something as we wrap up. Let me tell you something as we wrap up. I can make that hair make money.
I'm not selling my hair for you to resell my hair.
Like a stripper.
Everybody in the world, this has been part-time alcoholics. We would have liked to source you more. But
yeah,
you recognize that not all of you are invited to because capitalism.
Private party. Private so party.
We will see you. Oh, I want some sweets. But anyway. Bye!